morning. Today's daf and getting his daf ches. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of the Zechon Ishmael Libig Arbiyala Bashmuel. We are on Zayin Amud Beis. We're somewhere in the middle of the Amud. We're starting today with Tana Chada. Tana Chada is a little bit more than halfway down on the Amud. A continuation of the discussion of Fana Nechta, Fana Nechtam. Okay, it's been over a week, but that's good. It means that there's a good chance that we're going to understand it. And it won't just fly right by. The Mishnah told us in the first Mishnah that when you bring a get from Medina Sayyam from outside of Eretz Yisrael, you must say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechtam. Machlok is Rabba and Rabba why that should be. Although the Gemara then further stipulated that Rabba and Rabba are not really arguing. They both agree by Kiyum Shtaros that the nature of this requirement is that we really want this document to be certified. And generally speaking, you need two witnesses to certify a document. Here the Chachamim presented a kula, and that one witness can serve as its certification. Once the document now is certified, so then the document becomes impervious to challenges of the husband. This is all what we've been discussing over the course of the past week. And now we're going to have an interesting machlokas, very interesting machlokas coming up right now regarding bodies of waters within Eretz Yisrael. Do they have the status of in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael? So the Braisa gives us conflicting reports, and this is where we're beginning today. Tana Chada, we learned in one Braisa, maybe get Bisfina, maybe Eretz Yisrael. Bringing a get over a, I'm sorry, Basfina on a boat. So obviously the boat here being described is on the water. Where the water is situated right now is not totally clear. Right now, just taking a look at Rashi in terms of what we're thinking at this moment. So Rashi says, I maybe get Bisfina. Rashi is a little bit off because of the pictures, but Rashi is, I guess what you would say, the right-hand column. It's not. It's the left-hand side. But, okay, anyway, if you find it, great. I maybe get Bisfina. Rashi writes, Shenichta Bisfina. So the get was written on the boat, Vekasakadach, and Rashi says, at this point in time, Ben Naharos, the Eretz Yisrael Kamar. We are some river within Eretz Yisrael. I think we're most familiar with the Yarden River. I don't know how many rivers we can identify after the Yarden. But anyway, the point being is that we're somewhere within central Eretz Yisrael, but we're not on land. Right? We're on a boat. We're off on some river in Eretz Yisrael. So one Bryce says, I maybe get between a can maybe Eretz Yisrael. So the first Bryce says, it's like bringing in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, you're on Eretz Yisrael. You do not need to say, b'fanenechtam, as we learned back in the Mishnah. That is Bryce number one. V'tani idach. Then compare that to the next Bryce, which is, can maybe b'chutz aretz. Next Bryce says very succinctly, no, the landmass does not have the river does not have the status of Eretz Yisrael proper. So bringing, if you wrote the get on a boat and then you bring it into Eretz Yisrael, so you have to say, find a nechtam. A terrible analogy, but I'll say it anyway. It's just terrible. But basically, in other words, it's really bad. But when the offshore gambling, meaning you're not once, I know you have to be 3 miles offshore, but basically once you're offshore, you're not considered on the on America proper. So you're international water. You're allowed to gamble. So okay, it was a bad analogy. But but over here, in other words, being on a river is not considered being part of Eretz Yisrael. Now, but by the way, what makes this discussion interesting, and it's going to just get more and more interesting, is that we're talking about a river within Eretz Yisrael. It's not outside. It's not an ocean off to the side. It's in Eretz Yisrael, but still being on a river is not compared like it's being in Eretz Yisrael. So we have a steer between two brises. One brise says riding on a boat on a river in Eretz Yisrael is considered like Eretz Yisrael, and the second brise says it's not. How do we resolve the steer? So here we go. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Lo Kasha HaRev Yehuda Rabbanan. So Rav Yirmiyah is going to present a suggestion, which is that this is really reflective of a machlokas tanaim ditnan. We learned in the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in the second parak of Chala. Afar chutz la'aretz haba bisfina. So you have land which is the land itself, the dirt itself is indigenous, not to Eretz Yisrael, but to chutz la'aretz. And it's on a boat. Haba bisfina la'aretz. And the boat is headed to Eretz Yisrael. Chayav b'meiser uvishvias. So it's obligated meiser and shvias. In other words, essentially what we're looking at over here is an agricultural halacha of meiser and shmita. Okay, and what the Mishnah is teaching us is that even if the dirt itself is coming from outside of Eretz Yisrael. But once it enters into Eretz Yisrael proper, and even though it's on a boat which is on a river, nevertheless, at that point in time, it becomes like part of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, if you're growing something on that boat, so it's chayiv in Meiser and in Shemitah. Okay, now what the Gemara is doing right now, well, let me finish first, and then we'll comment. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Mislav, Bizman Shas, Finagosheshes. Rav Yehuda says, I will grant you that that's true, but only if the boat is actually resting on the floor of the river. If the boat is not resting on the floor in the river, so then no. Ava Einas, Finagosheshes, Pater, but once the boat is not basically sunk to the bottom of the it's a shallow river, it's not floating, it's all right. Well, if it's not floating, so then it's part of Eretz Yisrael. But once it's floating, it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. That's Shitas Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama. Okay, first of all, let's, from a larger perspective, what did the Gemara just do? It's something very interesting. Tosfos notes it, and that is that we're making a fantastic comparison. We're comparing the halachas of Bifanei Nechtam, which is not an agricultural halacha. That's a machlokas in, or that's a discussion within, for the most part, Kiyum Shtaros. Right? In other words, we need witnesses to certify. Within Eretz Yisrael, everyone's united, everyone's unified, for reasons that we gave earlier, either because of Alila Regel, or because of the Batei Dinim. Everyone is a unified mass. And so therefore, we're not going to have a problem finding somebody to be Mekayim Shtar. And also, if you're Rabbah, the issue of Lishma, but everyone in Eretz Yisrael is learning, and therefore, it's an issue of Lishma. The Bifanei Nechtam requirement of being, or lack of requirement, being in Eretz Yisrael, is not agriculturally based at all. It's a halacha within, can we find witnesses to certify, and am I worried about people not knowing about Lishma? And what we're doing now is we're comparing it to the halachas of agriculture within Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos says it very poignantly, he says it very succinctly. Third Tosfos on the Amud, Avagav Dikarkiyo Samayim, Havak Eretz Yisrael, Garahacha, Vlast alav v'im tamar. Right, third line in Tosfos. Uma inyan get, it's a meiser. Atu amevi get ba'aliyah ba'eretz Yisrael yichashu kemevi b'chutz ha'aretz mishum da'afer habashem b'chutz ha'aretz patum imeiser. Tosfos says it's really hard to understand what the comparison is between the halachas of Bifanei Nechtam and the halachas of Trumas HaMaisis and Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, what is the Gemara doing making a comparison? That's Tosfos' question. For Amari, the lo dami d'aliyah d'karka shetachteha barzriyahi v'arle yitzchai b'maiser v'shvias ma she'en kem b'tzfina. Okay, so Tosfos says, look, on a boat, they just fundamentally removed from the halachas of Trumas HaMaisis, and so therefore it doesn't have the status of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, it's fair to compare, but it's very difficult. It's certainly a little bit challenging to understand how the Gemara can make this comparison, but the Gemara does. Okay, so what we have now are two brises. One brise says that when you write again on a boat, and the boat's on a river in Eretz Yisrael, and then I deliver it, so one brise says I do need to say Bifanei Nechtam, the other brise says I don't, and Rav Yirmiyah's answer is, it really is reflective of the machlokus between Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. Tanakam is of the opinion that when I have a boat in Eretz Yisrael, it's chayv and meiser, it's chayv and shemitah, which means that that boat, which is in the water, is considered part of Eretz Yisrael, whereas Rav Yehuda says no. Only if the boat is actually resting on the ground, then and only then. If the boat is floating, it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. That is Rav Yirmiyah's response to the stira machlokas. Abai Amar Havaha Rav Yehuda. Abai says no. Both brises are going like Rav Yehuda, the first and the second. V'lokasha kam bezman she'en asfina gosheshes kam bezman she'asfina gosheshes. Abai will just basically only focus on Rav Yehuda, and the way to resolve the two brises is very simple. According to Rav Yehuda, we already have a built-in distinction. If the boat is floating in the water, not part of Eretz Yisrael. If the boat is actually sitting on the bed of the water, on the water bed, so then it is considered part of Eretz Yisrael. So that is Rav Yehuda's already built-in distinction, and that will be a way of resolving the two brises. Okay. Okay, an interesting Rashi over here, just to highlight. Rashi says, if you are of the opinion, according to the Tanakhama, all you need is the boat floating in the water. According to Rebbe Yehuda, you need the boat to be sitting on the bed of the water. What then makes it that the anything you grow in the boat is going to be considered part of Eretz Yisrael. So if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskal, Alfer Chusa Aretz, Haba Bisfina Laretz, so Vizaro Bisfina Vitsamcha. So Rashi says you're planting on the boat and you're growing something on the boat. The hasfina shall cheresi. Very interesting Rashi. Rashi says that we're talking about where the boat is made out of cheres. So cheres, earthenware, is a very porous material, and so therefore the assumption is that the nutrition of Eretz Yisrael goes from the bed of the river, through the boat. Or to what you're growing on the boat. In fact, Tosfos points out that based on the Gemara Menachos, that we know we're going Kli Cheres. Kli Cheres, if I have a pot made out of earthenware and it's sitting on the ground in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't have to be Menukav. It does not have to have holes in it. Why? Because it already does. Meaning that's the nature of Kli Cheres, that it already is such a porous material, so therefore there is a easy communication between the nutrition in the ground and that which I'm growing in the pot. So Rashi assumes over here that the same thing is true regarding our boat. Our boat in question over here is an earthenware boat. Certainly sounds like from Rashi that if the boat is not an earthenware boat, if the boat were made out of metal or some non-porous material, so then Rashi would say that we would not have this halacha, and that that which I grow in the boat is not going to be considered subject to chumos and maisos.
Is it like hydroponics?
Yes, correct. In other words, it's totally detached and removed from the water. Okay, so this point that I just brought out within Rashi. So now, if you want more on this topic, so you look at the second to last Tosos Atzitz Nakuv, where Tosos discusses this point within Rashi even further. In the meantime, however, we're going to go on in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Zeira, we are now four lines from the bottom of the. Of Zion Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes: "Amar Zera Atzitz Nakov Hamunach Al Gabi Yesedos." If I have a pot which has holes in the pot and I put it on pegs, so Banam Alachok is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. So Abaye says, "I think." I'm sorry, Rabbi Zera. Right. Rabbi Zera says, I think at this point in time, this really reflects mimics of machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are discussing growing vegetation on a boat floating in the water in Eretz Yisrael. Again, the Tanakam is of the opinion that it has the status of Eretz Yisrael. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, it does not have the status of Eretz Yisrael, only when the boat is actually touching the bed of the river, but otherwise it does not. So here, basically now, I have a pot suspended in air, hovering over the land of Eretz Yisrael. But to make this even more pronounced, the pot has holes in it. So what Rabbi Zera is suggesting is that this is the very machlokas of Rabbi Huda and the Tanakama. So the Gemara doesn't say. So I don't know. Am Rava Demaloi, Rava says no. I reject the comparison. So Ad Kan Lo Kama Rabbi Huda Asam Ala Bisfila Ha Asuya Liv Rawach. So Rabbi Huda says, look, in the case of the boat, I don't feel that there is a connection between that which I grow on the boat and the river/riverbed that's below the boat. I don't think there's a connection. Why? Because the boat is always in motion. Right? Rashi, the top Rashi, Klomar, Mibnei Shehi Mahalachas Kol Shah, the boat is in constant motion. And this is a topic which the Gemara talks about all the time. Right? Something which is in motion, is it connected to that which is below it? In fact, later today, we're going to have part of that conversation. So the Gemara says, but if I have a pot and it's in the air, but it's sitting on pegs, so that means that pot is now not moving. It's a stationary item hovering over the airspace. Rabbi Yehuda would argue, no, this is connected to the floor that's below, to the earth that's below. Inami, and the Gemara says, and I'll reject your comparison from the other perspective as well. Ad kan lo kama rabbanan hasam ala bisfina de la mafsik avira. De maya ki ara smichta damya. Very interesting line of the Gemara. When we're talking about the boat, and the Chachamim say that when I grow something on the boat, which is on a river over Eretz Yisrael, so I will view that vegetation as if it grew in Eretz Yisrael, because there's no air. There's no air separating. I'm growing on a boat, which is on water, which is over the riverbed, and how do we view water? We could view water as Aresmechta. It's just another layer of ground. It's not air. It's not. There's no hefsek. There's no separation. But not when it is right, pots on a peg and hovering over the ground. So maybe the chachamim can argue. Now again, what Rav is doing over here, he's not saying that these arguments are absolutely foolproof. It's just simply that I don't like the comparison between the case of the pot hovering over the earth versus the case of the boat. They are not necessarily the same. And I could see how both Tanayim would object to this comparison. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar ben Aharis Eretz Yisrael Dekol Emel Lo Pligi. Gemara now is going to present another way to frame the machlokas between Braisa number 1 and Braisa number 2. Again, Braisa number 1 said that when I write a get on a boat, and then I get off the boat, and I deliver the get, so Braisa number 1 says that I do need to say, Braisa number 1 says I don't need to say Befanenechtam, Fanenechtam. Braisa number 2 says I do need to say Befanenechtam, Fanenechtam. So now the Gemara is going to give a totally different suggestion about how to explain the Machlokas. Rav Nechama Yitzchak Amar ben Aharis Eretz Yisrael Dekol Emel Lo Pligi. If the river was in Eretz Yisrael proper, there is no debate. Everyone is in agreement that that is considered part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael, and you do not need to say Befanenechtam, Fanenechtam. Ela ki pligi biyama gadol, where the boat right now is situated is in the Mediterranean Ocean. Right, the offshore gambling illustration that I gave earlier now actually comes into play. So the Gemara now says that we're talking about the boat is offshore meaning out in the Yama Gadol. And what we're going to be debating, very interesting machlok is coming up right now in the Gemara. This is like a famous Gemara, famous if you will. Just a great geography. And the question now becomes, Eretz Yisrael, where does it go out in terms of international waters of the Mediterranean? How far does it extend? So, what is the definition of Eretz Yisrael? What's the definition of Chutz Aretz? Okay, so first of all, we're going to go now up the shore, and we're going to go to the most northern point of Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to go to the mountains of Amnon. So if you're sloping southbound on the Amnon mountains, so you are in Eretz Yisrael. If you're sloping northbound on those mountains, so then you're outside of Eretz Yisrael. Good. And the tip of the mountain now serves as the most northern border. Good. Obviously, there's no map. I'm not pointing to anywhere on the map. Just, you know, conceptually, we understand. So there's some mountain range to the north. So sloping southbound is Eretz Yisrael. Sloping northbound is outside. Hanisim Shebayam. Now, what about any islands that are in the Mediterranean? So here's what you're going to do. You're going to now draw a straight line from the Amnon Mountains, and it's going to cut across the Mediterranean, a diagonal across the Mediterranean. The Mediterranean is like kind of like a bow shape, so you're going to draw a straight diagonal line going running in a southwest direction until you get to Nachal Mitzrayim, which is going to be the southern tip of Eretz Yisrael. And now basically you're going to have almost like a crescent, a moon crescent of Mediterranean Sea. And within that, in that moon crescent, if there are any islands, okay, I don't think there are, but if there are any islands within that area, so then that's considered part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael proper. Anything outside of that crescent, meaning anything that is westbound of that crescent, is going to be considered Chutz Aretz, going to be outside. So, Mina Chuvalifnim Eretz Yisrael, Mina Chuvalachutz Chutz Aretz, that is the opinion of the Tanakhama. So, how do we bisect the Mediterranean? So, basically, what we do is we draw a point, a straight line from the Amnon Mountains to Nachal Mitzrayim. Anything that is east of that line is Eretz Yisrael. Anything west of the line is Chutz Aretz. That is the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Sheganeged Eretz Yisrael, Harei Eretz Yisrael, Shenemar, Ugvul Yam, Vehaya Lachem Hayam Agadol, Vegvul Zeyeh Lachem Gvul Yam, Vehanisim Shebetzad Nemar Noso, Ki Ilu Chut Masuach Aleim, Mekap Pluria the Ad Yom Ukainus, or Minach Mitzrayim Ad Yom Ukainus, Minachuv Lefnim Eretz Yisrael, Minachuv Lachut Chutz La'aretz. Okay, and Rav Yehuda says, here's what you're going to do. you're basically going to take a look at those two points of Eretz Yisrael, the northern point and the southern point, and now what you're going to do is you're going to draw lines due west from each point. And so now what you're going to have is you're going to have basically a bandwidth, the size of Eretz Yisrael extending into the western direction. And any island that's going to be within that bandwidth is going to be part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael. Any island that is going to be outside of that bandwidth, meaning to the north of that band or to the south of that band, is not going to be part of Eretz Yisrael. Ad kan divrei Rav Yehuda. That's Rav Yehuda's opinion. How did Rav Yehuda arrive at that conclusion? So again, I know I read a lot of Gemara quickly, but if you take a look back at the pasuk, let's just look at that pasuk again. Ugvul Yam. What is the western border? I'm just rereading the pasuk. V'hayalachem hayam gadol. Ugevul, it is going to be the Yama Gadol and the border. That word Ugevul is an additional word. What do we learn out? What do we generate from that word Ugevul? It's coming to teach us that this idea that we have basically a due west flow of Eretz Yisrael extending out to the Mediterranean and going. Obviously, it leads to a number of interesting and obvious questions. Look at Tosfos, second Tosfos on the Amud. Rav Yehuda Amar Kosher Keneged Eretz Yisrael V'chula Shal Rabbeinu Patar LaRabbeinu Tam. Okay, Rabbeinu Tam, I know Rabbeinu Patar. I don't know where else he comes up, but he asked Rabbeinu Tam the following question. The Bizman is Ayal Yisrael Rav Yehuda B'Maiser Sha'anu B'Ma'arava Shal Eretz Yisrael. So, if you are now living in Europe, but you're within the bandwidth, so now, aren't you in Eretz Yisrael? Now, it's interesting. Rabbeinu Tam was more France. So, I don't have a map in front of me, and even if I did, it'd have to be, you know, whatever. I'm not discussing the Messias. But at least conceptually, if you're in a part of Europe that fits into this bandwidth of this due west line of Eretz Yisrael going westbound, so are you considered part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbeinu Tam's answer, which is the easiest answer to resolve this question, is Veheshiv de lo kaima like Rav Yehuda. So he says, look, it's an academic point. We don't passel like Rav Yehuda. We passel like the Tanna Kamma, meaning it is not a bandwidth going from Eretz Yisrael westbound. It is that crescent line that goes from the north down to the south. And so Rabbeinu Tam says it's a shita within the Gemara that we don't subscribe to. Sounds like if we subscribe to it, then you would have a very valid and legitimate question, but we don't passel like it. And so Rabbeinu Tam basically sidesteps the whole issue. Okay. Just finishing up the Gemara. We did this. Now the Chachamim obviously disagree with Rav Yehuda. What do the Chachamim do with the word Ugvul? So what the Chachamim need the word Ugvul to teach me about the islands. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, had the Torah not added the additional word of Ugvul, I might have thought the Havamina would have been is that even though the Mediterranean itself is considered part of Eretz Yisrael, meaning Mediterranean, meaning the crescent Mediterranean, not the westbound bandwidth, but the crescent of the Mediterranean belongs to Eretz Yisrael, but not islands within the Mediterranean. Havamina. Without the word Ugevul. The word Ugevul is coming to add that if there are any islands within the crescent, so then that is also considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yehuda, Nisim Lotzrichikra, and Rav Yehuda's counter-argument is, I understand, if that area of water is considered part of Eretz Yisrael, obviously, any island that exists within that area is considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Why would I need a pasuk to have to include the islands? Seems like a very good counter argument by Rav Yehuda. What the Chachamim would do with that point, I'm not sure, but. So now, to recap. So now, I don't know if I plugged it in, but let's plug it in now back into the original two brisos. One briso says that when I'm on a boat in the Mediterranean, it's like you're in Eretz Yisrael. The other briso says when I'm in a boat in the Mediterranean, it's not like you're in Eretz Yisrael. So now we have pshat based on the machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Yehuda. A new machlokas of the Tanna Kamma and Rav Yehuda. According to the Tanna Kamma, if you're outside the crescent, if you're west of the crescent, so then you're not in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it's like bringing a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael, where you need to say b'fana nechtam, b'fana nechtam. Whereas, according to Rav Yehuda, it's a bandwidth that extends from Eretz Yisrael and it continues westbound. If it continues westbound, so then, if you're on a boat anywhere west of Eretz Yisrael, you are considered like you're in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you do not need to say b'fana nechtam. And that, the Gemara suggests, this is Rav Nachman Yitzchak's suggestion of how to explain the machlokas between Braisa number 1 and Braisa number 2. I can't. No, no, no.
the places have Thursday, have a soap room.
Right. It goes back to Tosfos' point at the beginning of our sugya today. Meaning, a lot of these comparisons are interesting comparisons. Meaning, the issue of getup before an echrav is kiyum shtar, and whether or not we can find these witnesses. And here, the Gemara kind of brings the whole discussion to: are you an Eretz Yisrael? Are you not an Eretz Yisrael? And that really becomes the central issue. Okay, agreed. Okay, Rabbi Meir Omer, Akko Eretz Yisrael. Bami name Rabbi Cheber Abba, Hamocha Avdala Surya, Kamocha Bechol Saretz Dami Olam. You sell your Eved to someone living in Syria. Okay, we're talking about Eved Kanani, we're talking about the sale of an Eved Kanani. So it's your property. In other words, I know our modern minds, sometimes struggle with this, but an Eved Kanani is your property. You have the right to buy and sell an Eved Kanani. Some to another Jew. If you die, he becomes part of your estate. He goes to the next generation. Okay. You can't sell your Eved Kanani to someone living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because your Eved Kanani is a partial Jew. As a partial Jew, you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're chayv in mitzvos, trumos, maizos, right, shemitah. So many mitzvos that can be accomplished and performed in Eretz Yisrael. And now what happens when you sell your Eved Kanani to someone living outside of Eretz Yisrael is that you are just mafkia all the obligations of Eretz Yisrael from your Eved Kanani.
But Eved does not own property.
He doesn't own property, but he could be, he's still knowing in the mitzvos, the mitzvah of hafrasha, the mitzvah of eating peres mesukan. Agreed. But in other words, but still, there are mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael that can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chachamim made a knas. If you sell your Eved Kanani to someone living outside of Eretz Yisrael, as a knas, the Eved Kanani goes free. Okay, that's a punitive fine imposed by the Chachamim for anyone who attempts to sell their Eved Kanani to someone living outside of Eretz Yisrael.
How can you do it if he sells them?
Beis Din has that power. You know, Hefker, Beis Din Hefker, when it comes to anything, money or financial, so Beis Din can disavow you and I from our money. They have that kind of koach. So, Hamocha Avdol Suria, Kamocha Kechol Saretz Dami Olam. Okay, you sell your Eved Kanani to someone living in Syria. So, Syria is gray area. Okay, if there's a map, and there was black, and there was white, and we know which is part of Eretz Yisrael and which is not part of Eretz Yisrael, so Syria would have a gray coloration. It would be, it's gray area, right? Literally and figuratively, not literally, but figuratively, it is and isn't part of Eretz Yisrael. So, and we'll go over in just a moment the ways it is and the ways it isn't, but it's gray area. So now, in this halacha of the kenas imposed by the Chachamim, is a kenas going to be enforced over here, yes or no? That is the question that was asked from Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So Amar Lahu, so he responded to the students, Tenisua. I know the answer. Rabbi Meir Omer, Akko Eretz Yisrael, the Gittin. So Rabbi Meir says that Akko is like Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis Gittin. Akko is the most northern border of Eretz Yisrael. Now, as we already pointed out, Akko itself is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Although, again, just yesterday, we talked about how Akko is not really the most northern border. A strip of land takes you from Akko up to Kaziv. That was yesterday's daf, but anyway. For our purposes right now, Akko itself is not considered part of Eretz Yisrael for the halacha of Gittin, the Gittin in Lavadim Lo. So for the halachas of Gittin, it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. But for other areas in Eretz Yisrael, so it is considered like Eretz Yisrael. The Kol Shekein Surya Demercha Ketuva. Let me present this just a little clearer and a little bit better. Rabbi Meir says that Akko is like Eretz Yisrael as it relates to Gittin. But in other words, even though he extends the Gvul to Akko, but only as it relates to Gittin. As it relates to any other halacha, it's not Eretz Yisrael. And that's Akko, which is pretty close. Surya, which is further out there, right? Syria, if you will, modern day Syria, if you will. But Syria, which is further out there, so for sure is not bounded and bordered and not considered part of Eretz Yisrael proper. That is the deal the Gemara wants to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba wants to make. Tana Rabbanan.
Is there a similar kenas if you leave Eretz Yisrael?
No. In other words, you should, right, the Gemara Ksuvos, we discussed it at the end of the Gemara Ksuvos, right, you shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. You're not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael. And then the same, similar Gemara Ksuvos talks about the other way around, shouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. But, okay, that's, okay, that, but anyway, but you should, you shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. But what can the Chachamim do to you and I? Meaning, I mean, obviously they can, you know, they can impose a fine. But here, though, however, when you're talking about somebody who can be sold, right? You're talking about an Eved Kanani. So, he's a partial Jew, but he can be transacted. The Chachamim said, we don't want you to make a transaction where he's going to be now have to leave Eretz Yisrael. We don't want that. So, and the Chachamim here, because it's a monetary issue, have the right and ability to basically extract, disavow him from your possession. Or from the, in this case, the buyer's possession. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan b'shoshah d'rachim shavsa suri l'aretz yisrael v'shoshah chutz l'aretz. Now, Suri, I told you, is a gray area. It's not black, it's not white, it's not Eretz Yisrael, it's not Eretz Yisrael. So what is it? It's somewhere in the middle. So the Gemara says, so here basically you'll see the split, where in three ways it's like Eretz Yisrael, in three ways it's not like Eretz Yisrael. Okay, what makes Surya so controversial? So let's start with Rashi. Rashi, one, two, three wide lines down on the Amud, Rashi writes, He Aram Sova. It is synonymous with the land called Aram Sova. V'kavshua David v'osifu al Eretz Yisrael. So David acquired it, annexed it, but it's Kivush Yachid. It was done by David as an annexation to Eretz Yisrael, but it's not part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael proper. And so as a result of that, so it's therefore it's that gray area. If you will, again, I'm already on one bad analogy for today. So I'll go for my second bad analogy today. It's like Guam, it's like Puerto Rico, it's not America proper, but in certain areas it does have a status. So here also, it's not Eretz Yisrael proper, but in certain areas it has a status. Siman Av Bar Rak. Okay, so you have your siman to help you memorize the three, and let's go. Afra, Tamei Kuchos Aretz. So number one, we know, we learned this back in Sota, we learned this back in Nazir, that Chos Aretz has what's called Tumas HaAmim, that once you step foot outside of Eretz Yisrael, so you are Tamei Midrabanan. Okay, why that should be? Okay, the Gemara itself doesn't ever clarify why that should be. It's, we know, right? We know it's Gzeira D'Rabbanan, and we know that it's burial. What are we concerned with? Is it the non-Jews that are buried there, or the Jews that are buried there? It touches on an issue of whether or not non-Jews give off Tumas Mace, or they don't give off Tumas Mace. Okay, much to discuss, but for our purposes, all we need to know is Chutz Aretz has the status of Tumas HaAmim. It's Tamei once you step foot into Chutz Aretz. So Afra Tamei. So that's number one. So obviously that means that it's not like Eretz Yisrael. Number two. I'm sorry, Chutz Aretz. V'amocha Avdol Asuria Kamocha B'Chutz Aretz. Selling your Eved Kanani to somebody living in Chutz Aretz, I'm sorry, to Surya, is like you sold him to Chutz Aretz, means the Eved Kanani goes free. Again, a kanas imposed by the Chachamim. And finally, third halacha, maybe get Misurya, maybe Mechutz Aretz. So, and you write a get in Surya, and you transport it to Eretz Yisrael, it's like you wrote the get in Chutz Aretz, and you need to say, b'fanenechtam. Three areas where it's not like Eretz Yisrael, and now three that they are. Uveshoshel Eretz Yisrael chayev es b'maisro v'shvias. Eretz Yisrael it's chayev in shumas ha'maisros and in shmita just like Eretz Yisrael. And v'harotz likanasah b'tar nechnas. And if you want to go in a state of tar, you may do so. The Gemara in just a moment is going to realize. Wait a second, I'm confused. Right, you first said that it has tumas hamim, and then the Brisa says, and if you want to go there in a state of tar, by all means you're allowed to do so. And finally, the Gemara is going to raise that issue. And finally, Akona Sada Bisuria Kikona Eretz Yisrael. I'm sorry, Kikona more than Eretz Yisrael. Beparve Yerushalayim. Buying land in Surya is like making an acquisition of Eretz Yisrael proper. Okay? It's like prime real estate in Jerusalem. Okay.
Don't they come to
Syria
include what is Aleppo?
I don't know. That's a modern geography question. I don't know the answer.
Because that would be, you know, have great effect before because of the huge community.
Okay, understood. Totally understood. I don't know. With that stated now, so now you see it's a clear demonstration of Asturias is somewhere between being part of Eretz Yisrael proper, being not part of Eretz Yisrael proper, and so you go back to the original question, the question that started this whole discussion: selling an Eved Kenani to someone living in Syria, is that do you get imposed with the Kenas? Yes or no? And the Braisa says that you're going to get a Kenas. It's like selling an Eved Kenani to someone living outside of Eretz Yisrael. But in three halachas, it is like Eretz Yisrael. So, a lot to discuss, especially after giving the list of three and three. The Gemara starts off the discussion. Chayeves b'maiser v'shvitz k'Eretz Yisrael. Kasavar. Now, how does that work? Why should that be? Because kivush yachish me kivush. So, it is because the author of this brice is of the opinion that even though when this was conquered, it's considered kivush yachid. Kivush, in other words, David HaMelech did so on his own. Nevertheless, it's considered a proper annexation, and the land itself is subject to the halachas of Trumas HaMaisis and Shemitah. Rashi, just give me a second. Rashi over here at the top of the Amud, Rashi writes, Kivush Yachid. The David Shaloh Hayako Yisrael B'Yachad Kederach Shayu B'Kivush Yehoshua. Shayu Kulam V'Kivshua L'Tzorech Kol Yisrael. So in terms of, what is the definition of Yachid versus Rabin? Kivush Yachid versus Kivush Rabin. A very interesting Rashi. Rashi writes over here, David Shaloh Hayako Yisrael B'Yachad. That when David conquered / annexed Aram Tzova, what we call Syria, so at that point in time, it was not a united, unified Jewish people. In other words, David had a monarchy, but it was a limited monarchy and it wasn't over everyone. Unlike, contrast that to Yoshua. Shayu Rashi, right? Shayu Kulam, everyone was together. It was a unified group. Yoshua was the leader, king, whatever appellation you want to give him, of everyone. V'kivshu l'tzorech kol Yisrael. And that conquest was for the purposes of annexation on behalf of everybody. Kodem Tchila, Kodem Chaluka. Aval David lo kavash ela l'tzorecho. David only did it for his needs. So basically, Kivush Yachid versus Kivush Rabin is whether the conquest and annexation is for the general population of the Jewish people, or is it just for the purposes of a select group? In this case, just for the king.
If it's king of Israel, what does his need mean? He's king of Israel. He's like doing it as a king,
Right. So maybe the issue according to Rashi is centralized authority, meaning that at that point in time he was not the central authority figure.
There was nobody else.
But he was, in other words, the start of his malucha was,
you know,
he anointed him, right? Shaul was still the king, even though after he was anointed, they had the back. Okay, right. So. Not perfectly clear.
He mentions here, Samuel mentions that he conquered it before he had finished the conquest of all of Eretz Yisrael.
Right. The Tosos. That's Tosos on Ches Amud Aleph. Right. If you turn back. This Tosos really belongs on the Amud Beis, but it's on the Amud Aleph. If you take a look at the Tosos on the bottom of Ches Amud Aleph, so he offers such a suggestion that, in other words, it was before the ultimate conquest of Eretz Yisrael proper. Okay. But anyway, but it's Kivush Yachid, according to this Braisa, is considered Kivush. It is a proper annexation, and that's why it's Chayev in Maisros and Shemitah. Okay, continuing. HaRotzel Likanes Lebetar Nichnas. If you want to go into Syria, Aram Tzova, and you want to go in a state of Tahara, by all means you could do so. Now, that is a little bit of a problem, and I'm being sarcastic. It's a little bit of a problem because previously we said that the three things in which it is considered like Chutz Laaretz is that the land of Syria is Tamei. So, let's put these two sentences together because they don't make sense, right? You're more than welcome to go into Syria in a state of Tahara, but the land of Syria is Tameh with Tumas Amen. Good. No, it's not good. It does make sense. So the Gemara says, "Beshita Tevel Megdal D'Tanya Nechlan Saretz Amen Beshita Tevel Megdal Rabbi Mitamer Rav Yosef Rav Yudah Mitaher." if you go into Eretz Amim, but you go in some sort of box. So let's say, for example, right? Can you imagine from the Gemara's perspective, right? You're put into this metal box. We'll throw a couple wings on the two sides of this metal box, and we'll give it an engine, right? What do they know from engine? And it'll fly, and this box will fly, carry you right over, right? They'll think you're crazy. So the if you go over Eretz Amim in such a box, so are you subject to Tumas Amim? So that's a machlokes Tanaim. Machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, but Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe says your Tami, Rabbi Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda says your Tower. Ve'afilo Rebbe lo kametame la Eretz Amim de Gazra Gushava al Avira. And even Rebbe, who takes a more stringent position, but that's talking it over real Chutz La'aretz. Aval Surya al Gusha Gazra al Avira lo Gazru. But Surya, once again, it's gray matter, it's gray area. It's not really Chutz La'aretz. David conquered Syria. It does have somewhat of a status of Eretz Yisrael. There is Tumas Amim, but it's only limited to the ground itself. It does not include the Avir as well. So, if we're talking about Syria, where only the ground is Tameh, and you're going and hovering over in a box, over the in the airspace of Syria, you will not become Tameh. That is how to resolve these two brises. The two senses. Vakona sada b'Syria kakona b'parvare Yerushalayim. If you buy land in Syria, it's like buying prime real estate in Yerushalayim. Lama yochasam rav sheish lama shekotzen alav ono ve'afil b'shabbos. You can write a contract. A contract over the sale, and you can even write it on Shabbos. Writing on Shabbos is one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. What right now the Gemara has just stated is that you can be mechalal Shabbos in order to buy land in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara winces at that suggestion. B'Shabbos Al-Kadacha, I can't imagine. You're going to be mechalal Shabbos in order to buy land in Eretz Yisrael? So, Kedamra, va'omer lo v'kochavim va'oseh, hachanami, omer lo v'kochavim va'oseh. No, the Gemara says you're not writing on Shabbos. That's Chilul Shabbos. You cannot do so. Even if on the other side of that transaction is buying land in Eretz Yisrael, you may not do so. What it means is that you can instruct a non-Jew to buy land in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what we call Amir La'akum. Amir La'akum is Asur Midrabanan. It's rabbinically forbidden to do so, but you may do so in order to purchase land in Eretz Yisrael. The Afagav Damir Lo Vekochavim Shvus. And even though it's an Isser de Rabbanan, meaning we're not allowed to, contrary to popular belief, we're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for us on Shabbos. And so how can you ask a non-Jew to buy Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara's answer is Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Lo Gazer Rabbanan. Yeah, but the mitzvah of settling Eretz Yisrael is such an important mitzvah. So therefore, asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos is asur midrabanan, but it's not asur min haTorah, it's asur midrabanan. Contrast that with, or counterbalanced over here with the fact that settling Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah chashuva. It's a significant mitzvah. So there you can ask a non-Jew to write up the contract so that if you have an opportunity, a passing opportunity to buy land in Eretz Yisrael, and right now Shabbos is your chance to do so. So because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so then you are going to. You will be allowed to do so. So many discussions come off of this Gemara, like offshoot or offshoots off this Gemara. Issues of, in general, is this mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael an example of a mitzvah? Or is it the mitzvah where you can ask a non-Jew to do, or can ask a non-Jew to do other mitzvahs as well? But there is clearly a mitzvah over here of settling the land of Israel. The Rambam famously does not include Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one of the 613 mitzvahs. What does he do with this Gemara? Another discussion, like literally this line of Gemara is just a starting point. It's a platform for so many issues. Okay. Ibai Lahu. Okay, let's stop. Let's stop over here. Tomorrow, I skipped two lines of Gemara.
Right.
Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the new sugya, the Gita of Yado Baim Ke'echad. Okay, a lot of good stuff. Okay, there's a reason why getting this learned in yeshivas. It's just a lot of good important discussions. Okay, we'll stop over here. So let's just quick recap. We've started and finished the steerer between the two brisas. You're writing the get on the boat in the water, and then you deliver an Eretz Yisrael. One brisa says you do have to say b'fanei nechtav. The other brisa says you don't have to say b'fanei nechtav. So we have multiple ways of resolving this dilemma. Well, one suggestion is that the boat is on a river in Eretz Yisrael, and either machlokas Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, or within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, the boat is in the water, the boat is actually touching the riverbed. Or the third resolution of Nachman Yitzchak is that the boat is out in the Mediterranean, and it's just a question of where does the western border of Eretz Yisrael, how far does it extend into the Mediterranean Ocean, which is a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, and that could also be reflective of the two positions in the Braisa. Then the Gemara moved on to a discussion of Surya. Surya, do I need to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav when bringing a get from Surya? So the Braisa says you do. It's like bringing a get from Chutz Arts, but as we learn, Surya was conquered by David HaMelech. It was Kivush Yachin. What exactly that means? Rashi and Tosos. We saw the Rashi today, Tosos we didn't look at today. But the discussion within Rashi and Tosos, why it's considered a Kivush Yachin as opposed to Kivush Rabim. And meanwhile, what is the status of Surya? It is and is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Both. Three halachas, it's like Eretz Yisrael. Three halachas, it's not like Eretz Yisrael. And the last halacha that we just covered is that it's like Eretz Yisrael in that buying property of Surya is considered a mitzvah, much like buying property in Eretz Yisrael is considered a mitzvah, meaning it's like you're buying property in prime real estate in Jerusalem. It would be the same thing as Eretz Yisrael. L'may nafkamina, you can instruct a non-Jew to write up the contract, even on Shabbos. Amir la'akum for the purpose of a mitzvah. And again, as I pointed out, many, many discussions come off this line of Gemara. It'll stop here.